Well, this morning I want to focus on one verse in James chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to read it and then we're going to figure out what is this talking about. James 5, verse 12 says, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, and let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." So, what do we do with this scripture? It's kind of feels like it's kind of pushed in here in the middle of some verses. If you look at it, at least at an overview, it's hard to see if it connects with the preceding verses or the ones coming after. And so I spent a good bit of time just kind of reading some commentary, see what other people think about what this is talking about. And I found out there's not a lot of agreement, actually, in commentaries about this passage. Some people think it's talking about swearing. And so they spent some time talking about careless speech, not necessarily taking an oath, but careless speech, like four-letter words and the like. And while careless speech is really important, and it is addressed in Scripture, I'm not certain that this is the primary concern that is being expressed here. And as I said earlier, there's some discussion too about why is this verse here? It seems like it's kind of stuck in the middle, not related. At first glance, it seems disconnected. So what's it doing here? Why is this important? Or is it important? Well, if you look at the first phrase, it says, "But above all," that seems to make the fact that it is important. Above all, my brothers. This clues us in that we should maybe pay attention to it. That it is important. In fact, very important. So what does it have to do with you and me? It's not like we're a society necessarily, I feel like, that takes oaths very often. And so, is this the focus that we need to have of this idea of what does it mean to take an oath? We need to talk some about that. But how does this apply to us? Is this a scripture that we can just like, well, maybe I should have just passed over and went on to the next one? Well, we really don't have any scriptures like that, that we should just like, oh, well, I don't know, we'll just go on to the next thing here. So I think there's some mystery here. And even as I was thinking about it this morning, I felt like had some different thoughts come into my mind. And I think as we study scripture, I think it's always good for us to realize that we are in this process of learning. We never really reach this point, I feel like, we're like, wow, I've got that completely figured out. There's always this ongoing process of the Lord revealing His Word to us. And I know things that I read years ago and things that I read now, I see new things that the Lord is revealing to me. So I'm going to share some things that I think this passage talks about, but I'd be curious, too, to hear what you think about it. So interested to talk with you afterwards and see what your thoughts are. What is James speaking to us about? But above all, and we could put ourselves in there, but above all, LCF people here, what should we pay attention to? There's something very important to be found here. So I invite you to lean in this morning and look closely with me at this verse, James chapter 5, verse 12. You notice I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, and I also don't have my wife with me this morning. The two of those go together. So you can open up your Bible to James 5, verse 12. That'll be our primary scripture. "But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." And that last part even, "so that you may not fall under condemnation," gives some gravity to these words. Why are these so important? What is James talking about? Well, the first thing I think it's important to see is that he is reminding us of the very words of Jesus. Jesus said pretty much the same thing in Matthew chapter 5 in telling us not to take oaths. So James is simply calling us back to the words of Christ. And I think before we go too far, it's important to say, well, what is an oath? What are we talking about? If you look at the definition of an oath, it says a solemn appeal to a deity or some revered person or thing to witness one's determination to speak the truth or to keep a promise. And so oaths are in some ways an attempt to ensure that people will follow through on what they say, that they'll do what they promised to do. And so immediately as I think of this, it comes to mind, if we are followers of Jesus, Jesus calls us to be people of our word. If we're followers of Jesus, he calls us to be people of our word, that our yes will be yes, our no will be no. And so I've been thinking about this. What does it mean to be a person of your word? What does it mean to be a person of integrity? That somebody can take you at your word for what you say. What does that look like? And this word integrity was in my mind a lot too as I was thinking of this passage, and it means the quality of being honest. At least this is the first definition, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness. But there's a second definition to the word integrity. It says the state of being whole or undivided. And so I have to think of this in this regard. Are you a person of integrity? Are you, yes, are you honest? Do you have strong moral principles? But are you who you say you are? Are you the person that you say you are? Is there integrity all the way through? What you say with your mouth is reflected with what you do. I was reminded of a couple songs when I was thinking of this. There's a song, and I couldn't actually find it. I think Aaron and Andrea introduced it here, but there are words in it that talks about God, and it says, I know you, you are who you say you are. Speaking of God, you are who you say you are. And I had to think about that for us as followers of God. Could we say the same thing? We are who we say we are. That the words that we speak, the promises that we make, the things that we proclaim, are those consistent with the way we live our lives? Or is there some inconsistency? Is there integrity there in our lives? I thought of another song, a hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, talking about the faithfulness of God. And there's a phrase in there that is interesting to me. There is no shadow of turning with thee. No shadow of turning with thee. In other words, God is the same all the way through. He doesn't change. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. God is the same throughout. Are we who we say we are? God is who he says he is. Are we who we say we are as followers of Jesus, as followers of God, as lovers of God? Are we who we say we are? Are we surrendered to him for his will and his purposes? Will the world see who God is through the church, through us? Will the world see who God is, what he looks like through us, through me? Am I a person of my word? Are you a person of your word? I was thinking this morning as we were singing the worship songs, and I was thinking about these words. You know, we said a lot of different things this morning during worship. Do you know what you said? All kinds of things that you said this morning during this time of worship. Jesus, there's no one like you. All different kinds of words of commitment, of praise that we see during our time of worship, about our commitment to him, that he is the only one for us, our main focus, our primary purpose. What do you think about those words? Did you think about them when you were singing them? They are huge. There's huge promises in those songs. Things that we proclaim, things that we say. Extravagant words of worship, praise, and adoration. They're radical words. And you said them this morning. I looked around and most of you were singing. I said them this morning. But are we who we say we are? Are those things really true? Were we really worshiping the Lord truly with our hearts, with these words that we sang together? Worship in music or any form, I don't think should ever be taken lightly. And it is easily taken lightly. You're speaking to God, you're speaking about God. And I have to think of that scripture in Hebrews that reminds us that God is a consuming fire. And the writer says, therefore, let us offer acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Those words, they mean something. They mean something. It makes me think of the parable that Bob read this morning of the father who told his two sons to work in the vineyard. And the one said, I'll do it. But never went off and did it. And the other said, I won't do it. But later he changed his mind and he went and he did the task. And Jesus asked this question of the group that was gathered there, which one did the will of his father? Now, of course, we could see this as a rhetorical question, but it's a sobering one, I think. When we look at, you see, Jesus was speaking to those who had great religiosity, and they played that part very well. Some of them played it almost perfectly. But the thing that I think is easy to forget is they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe in who he was, the Son of God. And so I think it's easy to play a part. It's easy to play a part. It's a different thing. Is that something, is that who we say we are? Or is it just a part? I've noticed sometimes that unbelievers can be almost more honest sometimes about who they really are. At least they say they don't believe. And there's consistency with the way they act in their life. It lines up. They're honest about that. And I've found that too. My unbelieving friends are pretty good at identifying inconsistencies in those of us who claim to be Christians, claim to have religion, but our lives maybe don't reflect that. Well, the truth is, this word about keeping your word and having integrity is not disconnected from the rest of James's letter, but it is very tightly integrated with the entire message we've been hearing all along. And I want to just reflect on a few verses as we go back through the book of James. If you remember, he says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Think about your words. And here James is back on this topic again. Think about your words. Let your words be few. Let your words be true. In verse 22, he says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So this consistency, this integrity, truth in action. Be consistent. Verse 26 of chapter 1, you can't control your tongue? And this would refer to careless speech, like swearing or other things. James says your religion is worthless. There needs to be some integrity, some consistency in our lives to what we say we are. Verse 27, we looked at this one last Sunday, what is pure and undefiled religion? To care for widows and orphans, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Seemingly small, hidden acts of compassion. Integrity through our lives. Chapter 2, verse 14, faith without works is dead. We talk about belief in action again. Are we who we say we are? Chapter 3, 14, he gets really practical. Are you quarreling and fighting? Do you have selfish ambition and jealousy? Well, that has nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with being a follower of Christ. It's unspiritual and earthly. Chapter 4, verse 13, are you caught up in all that you think you're going to accomplish in the world? Well, if you go back to Jesus' words in Matthew 5, he says, you can't even make one hair white or black. Now, I know we can dye our hair nowadays. I haven't started doing that yet, but I don't have much to do it with. But Jesus is saying, we really don't have much control over anything in this world. And that's exactly what James is talking about in James chapter 4 here. We don't have control. God is the one who is in control. And all such boasting is evil. You can't control or manipulate God. And I think there was some attempts to do that with even oaths by claiming things in his name or in his word or by heaven to make things happen. We are not in charge. God is the one who is in charge. And humility is what following Jesus looks like. And so we see consistency with this message all throughout this letter written by James. He reminds us in so many ways what it looks like to follow Jesus, to believe in God. And then that brings us back to this verse here today. And I think a lot of what is being said here is, are you a person of your word? Do you do what you say you will do? Simple things like, are you dependable? Can you be counted on? And it is interesting for me this week as I was preparing for this message, I think it was Tuesday, Doris and I were kind of rushing around, going different places, and we were headed into Columbus. We thought we had an open evening, and so we had scheduled a meeting in Columbus, and we were partway there, and I got a text from Reuben and said, are we having an elders meeting tonight? It's like I didn't hear anything. There wasn't an email or anything, and I was like, Doris, was that tonight? And so we dug through quickly. He's like, oh, yeah, that was supposed to be tonight. And so anyways, we got to the next exit and pulled off and turned around and called the other people that we had made plans and said, well, we kind of forgot that we had a meeting tonight. So we know those things happen from time to time. And I noticed that as I get older, they seem to happen more frequently. In fact, twice this week, yesterday, I got an email from somebody else that said, are we having a meeting on Sunday after church? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We are having a meeting. So anyway, those things happen. But the question is, our general course of action, are we dependable people? Can we be counted on? Do you keep your commitments that you've made? Are you a responsible person? I think it could go into a lot of even very, what we would consider simple things. Do you return phone calls when people call you, or text messages or emails? They seem like simple things, but in some ways there's built-in commitment to doing that with one another. There's respect for other people in doing that. It can be important. And yeah, there's some that don't need to be replied to if you have a lot of that junk that comes in your email or whatever. But do you keep your commitments? Are you responsible? If you agree to do something, can you be dependent on to do it, to carry it out? Or do you have to be reminded continually? Always be reminded to do what you already said that you would do. Are you a person of integrity? All those little things point to who we really are. Who we really are inside. Do we always have an excuse for why we didn't do something? It's somebody else's issue. Is your religion real or is it just religiosity? The last number of weeks I've had the opportunity to interact with a gentleman, and it's been interesting for me to observe this man. And I told Doris this week, I said, you know, I think this guy is the most gentle person that I have, one of the most gentle persons that I've ever been around. Gentle, kind, no expectations of me, no criticism or judgment of me, not the slightest hint. And going through some difficult things, but generally, you know, when I ask him how he's doing, it's like, well, how are you doing? Like, they turn it around back on me. And so I said, you know, this person just exemplifies that word gentle as the fruit of the Spirit. It's so obvious to me that he's a follower of Jesus because this characteristic just comes through so strongly. And so, that's the way it is with us, followers of Jesus, believers in God. People should be able to see that so clearly, that that's who we are. It's not just something that we say. It's not just something that we do on Sunday. It's not just something we grew up with. That's who we are. Let me go back to the verse here to finish. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Your word matters. It matters. James is so clear in his letter that your word matters. And I think it's time for us to think about it and to be serious about it. Not that we need to be serious all the time. I think there's many good words that of laughter and things like that that are part of what is good in our speech. But James, at the beginning of this letter, tells us that we should be slow to speak. And I think a lot of what he's saying there is that we need to take our time and think about what we say, what we're going to say to each other, what we say to God, to be slow to speak. In fact, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be said. And I think if we're slow to speak, won't be said. Angry words, careless words, quarreling words, judgmental words, arrogant words, boastful words, empty words. James talks about all of these in his letter. We should be slow to speak. And when we do speak, we should be people of our word. Just simply that, people of our word. We should mean what we say. No manipulation, no deception, no hidden agenda, no complex things going on. Just simply people of our word. We say what we mean. When we say yes to something or someone, it should mean yes. And I have to think of my own wedding vows when I was thinking of this. Do you take this woman to be your wife? Do you promise to love her and to cherish her? Those are big words. Big words. And I promise to do that. And so that should be evident to all, not just in front of other people, but to my children, whoever, that I'm a person of my word. Those words mean something. They're powerful. But you know what? They always mean something. They're always powerful, not just in a wedding, not just in a court of law. They always mean something. They're always important. Many of you have said yes to God, to following Jesus. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will surrender my life to you. Yes, I will obey you. Those words are powerful. The most powerful words that we could ever speak. They mean something. Our words always mean something. So in closing this morning, I thought it would be good for us to just take a moment and reflect on our own words. Maybe they were words that you spoke today. Maybe it was an email you wrote or a text that you sent recently. Maybe there are words that were spoken to you that you need to forgive. But I want you to focus on your words and what those words say about you. And then take some time to talk with the Lord about those. So I'd like to just invite you to bow your heads and think about your words. Maybe there needs to be a time of confession, maybe a time of recommitting yourself to what you said you would do. Or maybe for the first time, to say, God, I want to follow you. Jesus, I believe in you. Let's take just a few moments. Father, this morning we ask that you would help us to be people of our word. Help us to honor you with what we say. Help us to choose our words thoughtfully and carefully, and help us to honor our commitments to you. Help us to honor our commitments to one another. Help us to be people of integrity. May our words be few, and may our words be true. Amen.